All right, so here we are. I just want to take a moment to just relax and look out at you, see you, okay? We are we're here to celebrate today, and we're going to celebrate Liz and in a moment, but mixed in with that, we're going to talk about serving the Lord. Before we get on, though, I have to clear up some, there's a rumor going around, and I have to clear it up. Do we have that picture, Frank? Okay, I took this. It's a well. There was a rumor going around that our children were held up in broad daylight, and that they were robbed. And this is not true. This is not true. So I just wanted to clear up that rumor. I personally apologize for the bad photo, but I'm not a photographer. But anyway, I just you know, in essence, really, this is today is a big part of what you are seeing here. Because as we celebrate Liz, we are celebrating the work that she's done in the last two and a half years with our children, which is just a special thing. So with that, with no further delay, I want to invite Miss Liz to come up. Liz, come on up and join me. That's it. Come sit. There's a water if you like.
Thanks.
All right. So... because you're such a cucumber under fire and that you don't get nervous, you're not uptight right now, and in case you get too chilled out, I brought the small token of hot hands, the hand warmers. They work, ready to use, air-activated, safe, natural heat. And I was just thinking, if you get too cold, you can actually slip these into your boots. I've done that going skiing, and they'll keep your feet warm. So, from me to you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, what's that? What sounds weird? Okay, what? So, can you hear Liz?
Hello. Good morning. No. Good morning.
Okay. Yeah, it's on.
All right. I'll
okay.
Leave it alone.
All right.
Okay.
So, today, as we spend this time celebrating Liz, I want to talk about being called to serve, but I actually thought afterwards I should have named it the unusual call to serve, right?
Yes.
Because it's never just plain and simple or cut and dry or very neatly laid out, mm-hmm. Like some set of blueprints, right? And so I want to welcome you to the hot seat.
Thanks.
one thing you should know about Liz is that you know, as she was commiserating with my daughter before the service, they're not comfortable in such environments.
Never.
No. And so my daughter and her were commiserating today and talking about it because they feel the same about it. But just like with getting involved in children's ministries, I just want to say to you, ready or not, here we go, right?
Yes.
And so, because that's been a big part of your journey, you jumped in, so to speak, when there was a need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was going on at that time in you that you would just take the step out?
Actually started a couple of years before that. I had somebody come up to me and said, one day, this is going to be you. And I said, no, it's not. and it was always in the back of my mind because I just working with different children's ministries directors, it's a big job. And the idea of it really terrified me, just to be in charge of something so huge. So I, you know, again, it was in the back of my mind for years, and then Pastor Jerry retired, and just with the transition of things, I started thinking about it, and I thought to myself, I think it's time for me to step in and do this, because Narada stepped down for valid and good reasons, and just thought it was time. And of course, the most nerve-wracking part of it is we never feel adequate. We never feel prepared. And, you know, God prepares us along the way because that's his way of showing us to build our trust and that he's always faithful to lead the way.
Yeah. And I think such a big part of any time when we get involved and we want to help someone or be involved in caring for someone or involved in ministry of any kind. There is a need that seems to stick out before us, and it's almost like God is holding it out, saying, there's someone here that could use your help, you know? And so we kind of step forward in that, and we kind of just jump in. And it's no truer statement. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes too. Is the feelings that go along with that, you know? Because you quite often you do not feel like you're fitted for the role necessarily, or you feel inadequate. Those boots, those gloves don't fit you, you know. And it's just part of the journey. We hope to bring in the near future a study along the lines of a series of videos and clips and shows that have been formed called The Chosen. And Pastor John has brought it to Pastor Nick and my attention, and we're going to begin working on that this year. But as we're doing that, I have begun, like Pastor John and Nick, to watch some of the episodes, and I came across the episode called The Wedding Gift. And in it, in the beginning, Jesus is with his mother. Well, he wasn't with his mother. That was the problem. Mary, this is a scene where Mary is going back into Jerusalem, and they're portraying this, and she is frantic, and she is looking for Jesus, and she can't find him. And then when she comes upon him, I think in the episode, he's with his uncle, and basically she said, what are you doing? You know, we've been worried about you. And he says, well, you know, and his uncle, they both up and they looked up, and behind him was the towering temple. And she said, you were there. And the uncle said, it was amazing. He was ministering to people. And she said, but now? And he said, if not now, when? And at the end of the episode, and I know I'm doing a spoiler alert here, but you'll forget all about it by the time we get to that episode in the future. At the end, you have Jesus is with Mary and his disciples, those who he had gathered up to that point, and they're at the wedding of Cana. And it's about near the hour of disaster because they have run out of wine. It's going to be a terrible embarrassment on the family. And Mary comes to Jesus. Now the tables are turned. And she's saying, you have to do this. And he's basically saying, this is not the appointed time of my public ministry. And she then says to him, if not now, when? And so he goes on to perform that miracle. And I want to say, ministry so often, when needs come up and people need to be cared for, that same statement could be applied. If not now, when? When will that be met? And so so you're not like super confident. You feel inadequate? And are you ever afraid you're going to blow it?
Always.
Okay. Well, meet your twin brother.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. I want to say to you, if any of you are sitting here today and God has been tugging at your heart, but if you feel that in this next year, God would like to use you in some way, whatever it is, I want to say that you will lack confidence. You will feel inadequate. You will definitely be afraid that you're going to blow it. Take it from me, whenever I go to do anything for the first time, there's a certain undercurrent of nervousness and all those feelings combined within that's going on inside of me. Welcome to ministry, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think you're supposed to feel that way, because then you can't rely on yourself. You have to rely on the Lord's leading, you have to rely on his strength, and you have to be willing to submit to him. And that's not an easy thing to do, but it ultimately is the best thing to do. Yeah. So, and just with a few of the things, if somebody would have told me years ago that this is where I'd be in this place in my life, I probably either would have laughed or, again, be scared. So that's seems to be what I struggle with a lot. It's just, again, that fear and thinking I can't measure up to this, measure up to the task he gives me. So,
do you like feeling in control of things?
Yes. Yes. And when things are out of control, then it's not good for me.
And I think when we do feel like we're in control, I really venture to say, and I could be wrong, there's kind of like a false confidence that gets attached to that. Because again, like you said, instead of relying on him, we're relying on ourselves.
Right.
And so it is a very interesting journey. There's a scripture that goes along with what we're talking about, and that is 2 Timothy 4:2. And I'm going to read it twice to you. The first time is going to be from the English Standard Version. And it says this: preach the word, and here I want to highlight, be ready in season and out of season. Now, any of us could be easily drawn to a tree to pick a piece of fruit in season. They're out, they're ripe, they're ready for the picking. That's kind of the nature of things. But it's a totally different thing to expect to walk out into an orchard when the season is done and to find fruit. It's kind of not the way it's meant to be, and we know that. And I want to say that there are times when we are right in that sweet zone, right? When you know God is there, he's present, he's done something, and you are ready to go, and he releases you, you know? But then there are times when you're out of season. And I think probably in a time when you came in, I don't know if you necessarily felt it was a season or not, but it's hard when you're in the out of season time because you're feeling all those things. I'm not ready, I'm inadequate, I'm nervous. And I like the way now it says in a New Living Translation, it says, preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. But again, whether the time is favorable or not, if not now, when? You know, and I think that's kind of, I think the call of God was in that way for you. Mm-hmm. You saw the need, and I think whether you realize it or not, in your heart it was saying, if not now, when? I need to do this.
You know? Right.
And so, after it's all said and done, though, have you enjoyed it?
Yes.
Do you think you made a difference?
I hope and pray I did, and I can see it, too, in small ways, but I don't think you really see the impact until later.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about it often. My favorite part was communion, because that was the most unprepared I ever felt. I've never led a communion class before, and you know, just having to rely fully on God and there are times when I was teaching that I was wondering, are they learning? Are they learning from me? And you know, getting up there and reading their testimonies, that confirmed it for me. And that was my favorite part, was to read their testimonies. It meant a lot to me, so.
Yeah. It seems to me that throughout the time, regardless of how we feel, God, you know, or how you felt, God was using you, that you're making a difference, you know. Mm-hmm. That there is a lot of planting that goes on. Like you said, quite often, that planting doesn't get realized in growth until later on, mm-hmm. you know. And so you set a foundation for them, but God is using it. And he is meeting the needs, and he is supplying you as you're supplying them. He's filling you so that what he's given you is overflowing to them, right? And that is ministry. You cannot, if you're not receiving, if we're not spending the time alone with God, at the end of the day, we really have nothing to share with somebody else. And I want to say that to you in your own private lives as you go out into your culture and your society and into your place of business. If we're not spending time with God, and I know I've said this a lot in 2019, I'm probably going to say it a lot in 2020. If you need to be spending time with God alone every day. How will you do it? How much time you put into it is entirely between you and God. But I want to encourage you to go there, because as you do, God will speak to you. As you do, God will strengthen you. As you do, he will mend and heal. He will do so many things in your lives. And then when you step out into your place of business and into your family's lives and into your neighbors' lives and into your culture and your communities, God is going to use you because he can. Because you spent the time and he is able to make us ready. Because I got to tell you from my own experience, when I don't, I am not ready. I'm not ready. I can't be ready for the day. It's when I spend that time and I know he's touched me. And no 2 days are ever the same. I mean, I might have a set kind of thing I'd like to do, but no 2 days are ever the same, and God is just wanting to meet with us, and in that time, He can prepare us for whatever the day is going to bring, for whoever we're going to meet, whoever he would like to use us to touch. We had some really great conversations. I want to say to you all that in your planning and in working through your departure, I have to say I've been in the church a long time. I've been doing ministry for less years than I've been in the church, official ministry. But I've seen a lot of things, and I have to say that from start to finish, as Liz has been working through the things in her own life and where God would have her go and what she would to do, you have been a joy to work with and to see what God wants to do and how he's going to work this out. Because it's so easy to say, I'm done, you know? And like a breath on a cold winter morning, you see the mist and that person's gone. And Liz has been so forthcoming in meeting with me and talking with me and praying through her decision. I would say it is an example for anyone who's involved in the church, in Christian ministry, to take the time to go slow, to do it right, to be considerate, because you have been considerate, and you have cared for what you've done and how you would leave it, right? So we sat one Sunday when everybody was gone, and we were downstairs, and I think Kath and Matt were doing Christmas things around.
Yes.
Matt's always doing something, right? Drilling dust all over the place, but it's all good, right?
Yes.
So, but we talked about your concern, like for who?
Right.
For who, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, you're going out the door. Why should you be so concerned? I mean, you know, you're moving on. Hmm. It's a setup question.
Okay. of course you're concerned, but if you care about a ministry, you want to leave it in capable hands, and in better hands too, because everybody is unique. Everybody has their own gifts and talents. And what I was able to do, I'm very blessed because God was able to bring it about through me. But when it's time to leave, and I didn't want to get to a place of complete burnout, and just over the last, I don't know, that's, I say roughly 14 years that I've been working with children, whether it's Sunday school, divorce care for kids, and a little while in the nursery. I was a mentor to a girl for 7 years. And just all of that, I was starting to feel, first of all, that last year it all came to an end, and then I started to feel a little bit of a disconnect, and I was like, you know what, this is what I'm thinking about, and maybe I should just let them know, because I didn't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. So then things started happening within my own family, and I was like, okay, I think that's confirmation for me that this is the time just to, you know, step away without getting to a point of complete burnout. So.
And it has been a blessing to kind of to journey with you on that. And I had been thinking about your concern and how God is able to do things, right? And the scripture Philippians 4:19 came up, and it says, "And my God will supply every need." Listen to this for 2020, all right? "My God will supply every need of yours concerning according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." I messed it up. Let me go back and read right through. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And I know it was your concern. And we sat and I told you, and you said, "Well, I'm concerned who's going to come in after me." And I said, "Well, I have someone, and it's Desiree Boussikas."
Mm-hmm.
And your reply was?
Yes.
Right? God supplies every need according to his riches. According to his riches. And he, as Liz was, and we're going to get into this a little further when I invite Desiree up, as Liz was working through her things and preparing her for the next chapter of her life, God was working in Desiree's life. And you're going to hear that in a minute. preparing her to step forward and to be a part of the children's ministries. And you're not going anywhere, right? You're going to stay with me? Okay, all right, don't go. I want to take a moment now and invite Desiree Busikas to join us. Why don't we welcome her? And we present from the church family, from the pastors, from the children. That's plant life.
Yes,
you're going to want that later on.
Keep these alive.
Okay. And
can I put this down?
Okay, if you want. You know what? You've been fantastic.
Should I have waited?
I did ask you. No. You're right. Okay, put it back. We made the presentation.
Thank you.
So will I tell you earlier, like when you go to do something for the first time? This is one of those first time things for us. Yes, okay.
You told me to walk on up.
No, I did. I take full blame for that. Okay, the buck stops here.
Nope. You guys don't hear me. It's all good.
So, I was very interesting to find out that exactly the way Liz feels about being up in public is exactly how Desiree feels about being in public. So
I'm passing the torch.
They're all in their underwear.
That's what?
They're all in their underwear, right? That was a little joke.
Yeah, I don't use that. I don't use that. Are we good, Pastor Nick? You're going to swap mics?
Yeah, she's going dead.
Okay.
And I can't find batteries. So.
Yeah, and we're not going to let you go dead, even though you want to. So it's been an interesting journey for you. Venture to say, did you expect to be here last year at this time?
No.
No, okay.
No.
So I want you to relax your face muscles. Enable yourself to smile. Okay, all right, okay. So you have, Desiree has had a very interesting journey. Fill us in about your business and what was happening and you know, a lot of people don't know that you maybe had a business, so
okay.
Bring us in.
I ran a daycare business for 11 years. Definitely huge blessing. I was able to raise my kids. Here I go already, see? I can't talk without crying, I don't know.
That's okay, it's all good.
But anyway, it was amazing. Now I homeschool my kids, so we did know the business would have to come to an end eventually, because that's a job, and that is a job that I definitely feel in my heart was from the Lord. That's what I feel comfortable doing is homeschooling my kids. I want to instill, you know, values and character, and that was a huge part in this decision as well, because we ended my business prematurely. I didn't know I was going to have to close when I did. We wanted to be financially stable, obviously. One income is huge. We weren't there yet, but God made us be there. And unfortunately, things happened and made me have to close like that within 4 weeks. I had no prep in adjusting my life to what was to come. And I closed, so as of August, I no longer have a daycare, and again, that was a huge adjustment. So I took it as, all right, my job is educating my children, and absolutely it is, and again, that was a big part in when Pastor Vinny had come to me to take this on. I was like, wow, you know, I've always said I would love to do that, you know, children and instilling, you know, God's word in children, and what an amazing job that would be. It was kind of one of those things that had run through my head, but I didn't know the reality of it would actually happen. But I closed, and then this fell into place where Pastor Vinny had approached me, and I was just like, had you asked me 2 months ago when my business was open, I was working 55 hours a week trying to homeschool my children, and there would be no way I'd be able to dedicate the time that I would want to for this. And I praise you for working and taking this on, because had I been working, I don't know I would have been able to accept it. So that it's another thing to look at Liz for you know, that's an accomplishment there. She had a job and did this. You know, I'm not working right now, so I'm able to do, you know, put the hours into it that I need. So it was kind of like, we thought about it, we prayed on it, and my husband was like, you know, we need to do what we feel is right as far as, because now we felt like, okay, well, the job is to educate your children. That's what we felt the Lord led us in that path for. But then the more I thought about it, well, why do I homeschool my children? I homeschool my children to give them the character and morals and priorities, and what a better way to do it than for me to be that role model for them and lead the children's ministry. And that really did have a big part in it as far as me homeschooling them as well.
Before we get, I want to just touch on probably how it felt, the bottom dropping out in August. But before we do that, I want to say that you hit a very important point that I wouldn't want to forget. Liz teaches full-time every day. She's with children every day. And if anyone had a reason to say, this is not for me, I'm not doing it, sorry. You're better than I am. Back in the day at the Valley Street Church in Nazarene, I made a lot of people unhappy because I was a plumber. And people would come to me and say, would you do a side job? I got this problem in my house. And I'd say, no. And the next person would come along and I'd say, no, and no, and no. And like, and one person says, you're the only plumber I know that doesn't do side jobs. I'm like, you're right. Because I did it 5 days a week and I did not want to do it that extra day. I say all that to say is that the fact that you would do that and work through it and wrestle through it and make it a part of your life is just well, Desiree said it, you know, it's not easy, and it costs, and it costs you, I know, mm-hmm. And in time and energy, at times in stress, and, mm-hmm. and just very much appreciate that you'd step out and do that. So back to August, the bottom drops out. How'd you feel? I mean, were you wondering what God was doing?
I mean, I always told everybody, you know, don't feel bad, because we knew I eventually would have to let it go. Like, I didn't want everybody to, you know, feel like this pity for me. Yes, I was like, oh my goodness, how is this going to work? But it was in God's time. And I know that answer from previous experiences. Thank God I have that in me, because it was hard. It wasn't, we were no way prepared for, hey, in 4 weeks you got no more income. I mean, like, that's hard, but I've always known in God's time. I have testimony with my son in God's time. I mean, there's so many things I've gone through in life that I knew it would work. Yes, he heard the brunt of it, and he heard the other side of it, because yes, vocally you're gonna say, oh my goodness, what's gonna happen? But in my heart, I knew it was gonna be okay. I had thought it was for my homeschooling journey. And it is partially for my homeschooling journey. I mean, this is a part of why I homeschool them. I feel like it actually helps in that way, because that is the number one reason I homeschool them.
Well, as I was thinking about you coming on board and what you've been through to get here, some scriptures came to my mind. And one very familiar that's normally hanging up and will be returning back to the walls once the Christmas wreaths come down is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, for you, for you, for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. This scripture has taken a lot of people taking hits over using this scripture quite often because they say it's misused. And maybe it's because when God was saying this to a people, those people were out of bounds, so to speak. And yet God was speaking hope into them, into bringing them back to where they needed to be. And whether we're out of bounds or we're right where we need to be, God is always saying this to us. I have plans for you. But I just had to let go of my business. I have plans for you. I just lost someone dear to me. I have plans for you. Things are not working out the way I want them to. I have plans for you. Oh God, another change in my life. I have plans for you. I have plans for good and not for a disaster. And it's very, very easy to go to that dark place and go, this is a disaster. This is not working. This is not what I was expecting. But he has a hope and a future for us. And so, and I think what he's teaching us is what we hear in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. I like what the New Living Translation says, do not depend. Do not depend on your own understanding. We you know, you said it, Liz, earlier, about not depending on oneself, but depending on him. You're up against it. Sometimes it's like we're right up against the wall. We have no choice. We've been brought there. And in fact, God himself has brought us there, where we have no choice, where we need to depend on him. But I want to say to you in this next year, and think about these some of these points that we're talking about as you're going into next year. You need to learn, we need to remember, we need to know and hold on to that he's the one we need to depend on. And when things go south, when things don't go the way we had planned, when things seem to be falling apart in our lives, and unexpected things are taking place, to go back and trust in him again. And remember, he's the one to depend upon. He's the one we can rely on. He's the one that's going to meet all our needs. It kind of goes right along with Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for the good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. I want to tell you, you are sitting here today not because you decide you're going to get up and come here and be a part of the church, even though that's involved, and I think God allows us to be a part of it. It's because God has called you. God has called you to this place. God has a purpose and a plan. And he wants to make it known to you. And this is the best place to get it, to find it. The time that you spend with him each day is the best place to get it and to find it. He wants you to know, he wants us to all know that he has a plan and all things are going to work out for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Every one of you here today, not just Desiree, not just Liz, not just myself, not just Pastor Nick and those in the band, every one of you have a purpose that God wants us to take hold of. And yeah, you're going to feel inadequate, imperfect, lack of confidence, afraid every time you take a new step that you're going to blow it. But I'm going to tell you, he's there in it. He's there in it. And I want to tell you, when you're feeling those things, I think that's the best place that we can be. Because again, we're not depending and relying on him. So Desiree, I want to say, I think that we can apply Philippians 4:19 to you as well. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. By the way, when Paul wrote that, he was in prison. He was nearing the end of his life. And yet he says, the same God will take care of you and meet all your needs. Because he was living it. He was experiencing it. Even in that dark, cold, and frightening place. So, you ready for the new year?
I'm ready. As long as they're ready.
Well, I believe God is going to do great things, and I'm going to be interested to see what the next thing God will speak to you about, Liz. And I'm sure he is, because you have a good heart, and you love him. And God, every experience God has ever given you, he's given you to make, shape, and mold you into the person that you are. And he is going to use the person that you are. You know? And I'm fully account for that. And God has brought you up to this place. He knows what he's doing. You know, even when we don't, especially when we don't, he knows what he's doing, right? So I want to close with this scripture today, Philippians 4:6. And I think that it is for each of us to know and not to worry. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Tall order. Easily said, right? Yeah, right. Don't worry about anything. Okay, got it. But you don't know. No, but God knows, and he's saying, don't worry about anything. Instead, and here's why he can say it, instead, pray. instead of pray. I want to tell you, most times when I'm worrying, it's because I haven't been praying. I'm not praying. But pray about everything. Tell God what you need. God, this is what I need. This is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on. And thank Him for all that He has done. We sang that today. I was very much connecting with that. He has done so much. Sometimes we lose sight of how much He's done in our lives when times are dark and we're missing the pieces of the puzzle. We knew they were in the box somewhere, but somehow when we laid everything out, some things are missing. And I want to say to you, we're going to have those experiences this year. We're going to have a great need for Him, and we need to be going forward in prayer. I want to ask you, in your times with God, take time to pray for Liz as she goes forward into the next chapter of her life. Yeah. Cast some bread upon the water in her direction, just as she has done for all our children. Return the blessing. Be praying for her. And be praying for Desiree. Being in ministry and caring for others is no small task. Very difficult. Because you're doing that as well as caring for your family and trying to balance it all out. It can be overwhelming. It can take your breath away at times. Yeah. Be praying that God strengthens Desiree as she enters into the ministry of children and what's going on in their lives and the journey that's ahead of them and their faith. Be praying for them. Let's be praying.
I just want to say something really
quick.
Yes,
go right in.
I have a wonderful team of teachers and monitors, and I would not have been able to get through the last 2.5 years without you all. Thank you so much for your patience, your understanding, and your willingness to serve. If I've had to ask teachers to stay on a little longer just to get us through a session, they did so gladly and willingly. And Desiree was one of my wonderful teachers, and she was always saying, it's a joy to be down here. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Whatever you need, I'll do it. And thank you so much for being willing to answer God's call to this ministry. And I love the scripture Pastor Vinny just used, because I would say in this ministry, pray more and worry less, because it's easy to get into that. And you know, there are times too, and I think this is with a lot of ministries, you tend to feel a little isolated, so reach out to people and, you know, get that prayer and support around you as much as you can. And thank you so much for all your help and your willingness to do this.
Thank you, Liz. With that too, I want to say to you that the children's ministry has a great need. We need more teachers. Today, Desiree is going to have a meeting with the teachers that are on staff right now. But if you're thinking that you might want to get involved or just eavesdrop and drop in and listen to what Desiree will be sharing with the teachers, do so. I know that we have had glitches in the past with the insurance. You know, we are required to have insurance that covers us. And so we've asked people to fill out personal information that... and some of that has been a problem for some of you. And I want to say to you, it has been minimized now. Things have changed. So if you struggled with that in the past, I want to encourage you to reconsider coming on board, because we could really use your help. And if not now, when? Right? So consider it, or as Liz just pointed out, be in prayer about it. All right? I want to close in prayer before I send my sisters down back to their families in their seats. Let's pray together. Father, how grateful we are, Lord God, for what you're doing in this place. Lord, we are grateful for the care and the time and the service and the love that Liz has poured out in the last couple of years, oh God. We thank you for her willingness to have reason not to, but yet did jump in and to care and to serve, and to give herself to us and to our children. Lord, thank you for her. Guide her, O God. Continue to protect her. Lead her. Speak to her, O God. And show her what you have in mind for her as she goes forward. And Father, for Desiree, O God, we thank you, Lord, for her life. We thank you how you have worked all things out for good here, and you've brought her and Matt and the children to this place. First of all, for bringing them to us and having them be a part of our family. But then to have Desiree step forward and be a part of our children's lives, oh God. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, I know that that at times it was frightening, Lord God, to go through the time. And the fear of the unknown can just take hold of us so deeply. But Lord God, you have been in it all. And you have saw fit to bring Desiree, Matt, and the children to this place. We pray, oh God, your hand of protection on their home. Lord, your hand of blessing on their children and on their health and on all the children of our church and their health, oh God. We thank you for this opportunity to serve together, to seek you together, to seek you together, and to just grow in our faith with one another. Lord, we thank you and we pray these things in Christ's name. All God's people say.
Amen. Amen.
So we're going to take communion today, as we often do. But I've asked for help because I want to do things a little differently today, and so. I want to give you some instruction. I'm going to ask Pastor Nick and Corinne, they're going to come up and they're going to be serving communion from here. And Bob and Felicia Beer is going to come and they're going to stand and they're going to serve communion here. And they're going to hold the elements. And I'm going to invite you to come forward to receive those elements and to hold on to them when you go back to your seat so we can take communion together. All right? But I also want to offer up to you, for anyone, and you don't have to. You can come up and just take the elements and go back to your seat. But I also want to offer you the opportunity, as we go into this new year, to be anointed with oil. Okay? And so, I'd like to give you that opportunity. Janet, could I ask you to just maybe play something? Yeah? I'll give you a moment to get there. So be thinking as we're going into this next year, oh Lord, I'm faced with, I'm fearful of, I'm really unsure about, and I really love you and I really desire your help. And would you meet me where I am? And I want to tell you, you already know the answer. Wherever you are, God is going to meet you. Wherever you are. If you feel like you're so close to him right now, it's easy to say, I know he's going to meet me. But maybe you feel a distance from him for whatever reason. And you need to know that you're loved and that he cares for you. And that regardless of what you see when you look in the mirror, that he loves you. That he cherishes you. That you're precious to him. Wherever you're at, I want to invite you to come today. Now, I've asked Marianne Abrams is going to come up, and how we're going to do this, she's going to help with the aisles. But these first two aisles, when you come up, if you just want to take communion, you'll just go right past me and take your communion, go back to your seat. And then every aisle after that, you'll come out to the center as Marianne helps you, and then go back around. Out to the center and go back around. And so I want to ask Nick and Corinne, would you please come up and join me? Sue Cerruto. Bob and Felicia Beer. Sue a moment to serve our servers. remember, please hold the elements when you get back to your seat, so at the end, we can take together.